السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are now recording. We're now recording and we will continue the subject of depending on Allah. And I hope you guys understood and did the homework last time and understood exactly what do we mean by depending on Allah. We depend on Allah by our hearts. We do our homework with our brains and muscles. We don't confuse both.
Sorry,
we depend on Allah to do tawfiq, to give us tawfiq, which means that make our efforts successful. You can do a very good job. You can do a very good job with your muscles, and you can do a very good thinking with your brain, and you still fail. Why? Because Allah did not grant you tawfiq, so you fail. All your efforts and thinking and plannings will fail if Allah doesn't grant you tawfiq. And we got an example of Titanic. How did the guy, Allah deprived him from tawfiq? And because of that, he did an excellent job in designing and thinking and building the ship. But because he did not depend on Allah, Allah took tawfiq away from him. The result was the ship Titanic sank.
Are you going to write anything or do we have to write like...
No, you just take notes if you want.
Okay.
But you need to listen to the talk and summarize it.
What's your link to your website so we can get to listen to the recordings?
Can you write it down for her? Yeah. Now, let's see how did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implement that. Right? Because the Prophet Muhammad is the example for us. And let's look in particular to the example of al-Hijrah. Hijrah is the immigration of Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina. Did Prophet Muhammad say, yes, I am the Prophet of Allah. Allah is on my side. I don't have to plan. All I have to go do is just say, tawakkaltu ala Allah. I depend on Allah and start going. And inshallah, Allah will take care of the rest. Did he say that? No.
Can I get a folder really quick?
Go ahead. Can I do that? The answer is no. The Prophet didn't do that. The Prophet had a very good plan for Hijrah. His plan was made of 6 items. The first item planned for Hijrah The first item, Medina is what? Is north of Mecca or south of Mecca? Medina is what? North of Mecca or south of Mecca? North of Mecca. Medina is north of Mecca. The Prophet started the trip traveling what? Traveling towards what? What direction do you think? Remember, he wants to escape. He doesn't want to be caught, right?
Towards south.
That's right. South. Why? Why did he start traveling south? They don't catch him. Because when they figured out that he left, guess everybody ran looking for him, right? Guess everybody ran in what direction?
North.
Yeah, but the Prophet was traveling what?
South.
So smart is the Prophet. See, the brain is working, all right? Brain is making the plan. Second, the Prophet, he made arrangements with his cousin Ali radiallahu anhu. He made arrangements with his cousin Ali radiallahu anhu to sleep in his bed.
To stay
overnight at Aliza. Yeah. So Why did he make ask Ali radiallahu anhu to sleep in his bed, right?
Because when the bad people basically when they came and they opened up the bed or like tent, whatever it was, like they thought it was like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since it was his room or bed, but instead they found Ali radiallahu anhu.
Right, but let me correct that. The Arabs, the bad guys, didn't break into the house. They were waiting until the morning to enter the house and kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because it was a shame in the Arabian tradition, it was a shame to break in a house because because of the ladies inside the house and the girls inside the house. So it was a big shame. Okay? So they refused because the Prophet is their cousin. They called the Prophet our cousin. So they didn't want to break into the house of their cousin because other Arab tribes will, it would be shame. You know, they will shame them. They will tell them, oh, you guys break into the homes of your cousins. You know? So they were waiting for him outside. Now, they were peeking from the windows. Guess when they peek from the windows, they see who?
Ali.
Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali was the cousin of the Prophet, so he looked exactly like him, right? Not exactly, but he looked similar to him. So they will peek. They arrived, let's say, at midnight. They waiting till the morning. They peek in the house. They see the Prophet sleeping. 1 o'clock, still sleeping. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. They knock on the door. Okay? And then guess they find who?
Ali
radiallahu anhu. Where is Muhammad? Where is Muhammad? Muhammad is what? Is far gone. So that was a smart plan, right? Good thinking. Another thing that the Prophet did also. The Prophet used to, the people of Mecca used to trust the Prophet with their property. So if I travel, there were no safes or banks. If I want to travel and I have like a box of gold, I need somebody to look after this box of gold. I don't want to take it with me. And if I leave it, it will be stolen. So what do? I go to somebody that I trust and give him the box and say, please, take care of this, okay, box until I come. Keep an eye on it. Don't make anybody take it. So the people used to prefer, their number one preference was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew he is very honest. He has been living with them for 40, 50 years, and then they know him since he was a child. He grew up in Mecca. They know him very well. He never lied. He never cheated. He was never dishonest, right? So here's the Prophet. They had a lot of things that he was keeping for others. Can you please go back there? You can stay here. So the Prophet had a lot of things that people have trusted him with. Now the Prophet wants to leave. The Prophet wants to leave. Guess what is he going to do with the things that he has been trusted with? Yes, but there are two choices. The first choice, that he will give the things that he is trusted with back to the people, right? If he does that, there's a problem. They will figure out that he's leaving. Mm-hmm. Second thing, the other choice is to leave Ali behind to give back these items to the people who own it. And that's what the Prophet did. So he left Ali for two reasons. See the thinking? So that the kuffar are confused who's in the bed. That gives time for the Prophet to run away. And second is to give back the items that the Prophet is trusted with. Now, three, he made arrangements with Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Handouts. Next 2 weeks, we can go to the other one.
Oh, Dora's mom said to tell you she's sick.
Okay.
Why is our class suddenly really small?
Hmm?
Our class is suddenly really small.
Okay. So basically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made arrangements with Asma. What arrangements? She would bring her cattle and walk behind him. Why? Exactly, to cover his footprints. Because at that time, they can easily trace him, trace his footprints. Yeah. So he, smart prophet, huh? So he told Asma, you walk after us with your cattle, with your sheep and goats, so that you cover up for our footprints, so they can't trace us. They can't follow the footprints. Smart. Not only that, but he also made an arrangement with her to bring him food in the cave. To bring him food in the cave.
If Asma walks behind him, then it will mess up his footprints, but it won't really make a difference. If there's footprints, there's footprints.
No, but it's going to be the head of other people. So
the cattle.
Yeah.
So Prophet Muhammad...
The cattle. She had a cattle with her.
But
goats
Prophet Muhammad
and...
didn't have cattle.
No,
okay,
no.
That's
no, he didn't. No. He can't run away with a cattle. So he just didn't. So... He made arrangements with her to bring him food where? In the cave. Do you remember the name of this cave?
Yeah.
The cave Hira is where Iqra was revealed.
Oh.
So which cave was it? Put the notebook here. Which cave was it? You remember the name of the cave?
No.
Where the Prophet hide during the... Huh?
No.
Thawr. Yes. Thawr. That's right. The cave of Thawr. So she will bring him the food in the cave of Thawr. As long as he's hiding, he needs food and drink. So Asma bint Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with her, she will bring him the food and drinks in the cave where he's hiding, which is the cave of Thawr. Oh, the fourth arrangement is hiding in the cave. Why did he hide in the cave? Why did he decide to hide in the cave? To start with. Hide in cave Thawr. Why did he decide to hide in the cave? Why do you think he decided? Go ahead. No, that was after, and the story is not really very true.
Oh.
Nobody, it's not authenticated. Nobody, well, nobody was able to authenticate that story.
Okay.
So we don't know if it happened or not.
Wait, how do you not know? Wouldn't it be in the Quran?
No, it's not in the Quran.
So then it didn't happen?
No,
they
no, it's in the not in, in
oh,
the hadith.
It's after the Quran.
Yeah, there is a story which, of the Prophet, any story of the Prophet is called the hadith. Every hadith has to be authenticated by witnesses, and there was nobody to authenticate this hadith.
Okay.
By witnesses who either saw it happening or heard it.
Wait, so then if there was no witnesses, then how did they even make up the hadith?
No, the Prophet would tell them or somebody would tell them.
Yeah, and they would write it down as a...
They would write it down as a hadith, and they will testify, you know, that the hadith is true.
But the Prophet won't lie, so it's real, right?
Yeah, but we don't know if the people that are testifying.
The Prophet, no, she doesn't know that the Prophet told his companions not to write the hadith when he's alive.
Oh.
Guess why?
That's not...
He intentionally told them, don't write any other than the Quran.
Oh, yeah, that's why it says, like, Aisha radiallahu anha reported.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He said, don't write anything.
Why?
Because... He was worried that it would be confused with the Quran. He said, I don't want you to write any of my hadith or sayings or things that I do now while I'm alive. I want you only to write the Quran so they don't mix together. So now we have a Quran totally separate from the Hadith. The Hadith, when it was reported after the Prophet died, and it was reported, there has to be witnesses. Like Hazrat Aisha reported, and there has to be witnesses who heard her from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and so forth. That's why, that's how it is being separated from Quran. So now we go back. So the story of the spider and the web, the spider web and egg, is not authenticated. So I can't say it's true, I can't say it's false. It's just not authenticated. So back into the story. Why did the Prophet hide in the cave?
So they don't find him.
Okay. Exactly. So that they don't find him. But actually, to be more accurate, he didn't hide in the cave all the time, right? He had to get out of the cave. So why hiding in the cave in the first place if he's eventually going to get out of the cave and travel towards Medina?
So he would get caught.
Yeah, because in the first day, how many people are looking for him?
A lot.
Let's say 1,000 people. And the second day, let's say, in the second day, how many? 500. And the third day, how many? 100. And the fourth day, how many? 10. And the fifth day, people gave up. Right? Nobody's looking for him. Except one. There was only one guy still looking for him after. His name is Suraqa. We're going to talk about his story. It's coming. So, that's a very good plan. So, hide in the cave Thawr is a good plan. Now, food comes to him. Asma brings him food. And Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr brings him news. You see, he made arrangements. These are the daughter and son of of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, remember, was the Prophet traveling alone?
No.
Well, he was traveling with who? Abu Bakr. So the Prophet was traveling with who? Abu Bakr. Okay? So he wasn't traveling alone. The daughter and the son of Abu Bakr. Asma is his daughter. Muhammad was his son. Asma will bring the food and water, and Muhammad will bring the news. Muhammad was like 10 years old boy. Go ahead.
Wait, so like, did they come at the same time or like just different times?
Different times. Oh. They sneak in different times. Muhammad was a 10 years old boy. So he goes to where? To the halls, to the meeting places where the bad guys meet, and he listens to what they say. He listens to the plan. They don't pay attention to him because he's a little kid, 10 years old. They don't say, hold on, don't speak. There's this boy here. No, because he's 10 years old, so nobody cared about him. So he would just pretend playing around them, but he's listening. And then when he listens, he goes and tells the news. He reports the news to who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is like intelligence.
Wait. Abu Bakr?
No, his son, Muhammad. Abu Bakr was hiding with the Prophet in the cave. And then finally, he had a guide man to guide him. In traveling and travel. Because he traveled in unknown route. Okay, he would travel in an unknown route. Nobody knows about this route, right? He doesn't want to travel in the freeway. Right? Well, he needed a person to guide him. And Abu Bakr, he needed a person to guide him because of what? Because this road, nobody knows about. It's a secret road. Okay? So he needed a guide man to guide him through. So he needed arrangements with a guide man to guide him through. Okay, well, how do you think about this plan? Perfect?
No.
Why it's not perfect?
Because he doesn't know who the guide is, right?
Well, the guide is going to meet him after he gets out of the cave and take him in this very secret, non-traditional route.
What if the guide was a bad person?
No, the guy wasn't a bad person. He made sure that the guy is a nice guy.
Wait, the guide is Abu Bakr?
No, Abu Bakr was his companions traveling with him. Now, what if I tell you that this is the job that the Prophet did using his brains and muscles? But he didn't, there's nothing that he could have done that he didn't do. Yet, the plan failed. What? The plan what?
Failed.
How? How did the plan fail? Anybody knows? No. Before the Prophet leaves the home, his home, and Ali sleeps in his place, the kuffar, the bad guys, surrounded his house. 14 men with swords, very sharp swords, very strong 40 men. Now, what is the story about these 40 men? When the bad guys knew that the Prophet is traveling to Medina to establish a new state, they said, we have to kill him. In the past, they were not able to kill him. Guess why? Why weren't they able to kill him in the past? Huh? Any ideas? Any ideas?
Allah saved him,
yes, but what is the reason? What is the law of nature that Allah used to save him? In other words,
spiderweb.
No, I'm talking about before the Prophet immigrated. They were not able to kill him.
Invisible.
There is a reason for that.
He was invisible.
Allah protected him by making something so that he's protected. Okay. The tribalism. Tribalism protected the Prophet. How? Quraysh, the word Quraysh means aggregation. So Quraysh was made of aggregated tribes, like tribes join together to make one town, which is the town of Mecca. So every tribe, the law in Arabia was, you kill one of us, we kill one of you. And usually this will start a civil war.
So they're like gangs?
No. That's how they protected their lives. It's like, your tribe will protect you because the one who kills you knows that he will be a dead man and your tribe is going to go after him. So, if they kill, the Prophet Muhammad tribe was a strong tribe. If one of other tribes would kill the Prophet, there would be a civil war in Mecca. Like, Mecca will split into two groups and fighting together. And this will end Mecca. Mecca basically would be destroyed. So the people of all the tribes, the people of all the tribes living in Mecca, they could not kill the Prophet because they knew it's going to be a civil war and they knew that it's going to destroy them. It's going to backfire on them. So they didn't want to do it. But at that stage, they were really dying to kill him because it's gone far, far beyond what they can tolerate. So they made a very wicked trick. What is that wicked trick? They gathered 40 tribes. How many? 40 tribes. And they took the strongest man in every tribe. And then they gathered those 40 people and they told them, all of you will kill Muhammad together. All of you kill Muhammad together. So if the 40 people, all of them...
Why did they kill him? Because he was spreading Islam, right?
Because yes. They didn't like Islam. So when all of them kill him together, then the tribe of Prophet Muhammad had to fight with how many tribes?
40.
Is that possible?
No.
No. You see the trick?
I thought you said that.
You see the trick? So now, go ahead.
I thought you said he became invisible.
No, I didn't say that. So the tribes, then they have to fight with 40 tribes, so they will not be able to do that, so they will accept money, monetary compensation, like damages, money. Like they will give them like 1,000 camels or whatever, 100,000 camels.
So
that they just to save their dignity, you know, and just not look bad, and then that's it. Right? Do you see the trick? The dirty shaitan trick? Satanic trick? Did you get it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Did you get the trick? Okay. So now the 40 people, were surrounding the house of the prophet. 40 strong men with sharp swords waiting for him, foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. The prophet leaves, he's dead man. So the plan of the prophet failed, basically. All these preparations and thinking failed. Why? Because of the future, right? Who knows about the future?
Allah.
So the prophet didn't know what they have been cooking for him and the conspiracy they are making, and didn't know when they are going to attack his house. So they surprised him before he left.
Surprise.
So guess, now, remember that the prophet did everything he can do using the laws of nature. That's everything that was available to him. Every mean, he exhausted all means. There is nothing he can do. So now he's surrounded by 40 people who are ready to kill him. Because he did everything he can do and he exhausted all means, he did all the thinking and the planning, and there's nothing else he can do, and he was depending on Allah, Allah saved him with a miracle.
Oh, I know you.
Huh?
He became invisible.
No. Allah saved him with a miracle. Allah saved him with a what?
Miracle.
So the miracle came in after the laws of nature are, you know, after he runs out of laws of nature. Right? Then the miracle comes in because Allah wants you to use all the laws of nature available to you before he will give you a miraculous help. Okay? Yes.
This is the story where Ali sleeps in his bed and he creeps out of it. Which one is the one where he becomes invisible?
It's not yet, and he didn't become invisible. But anyway, we're going to reach to that point. So now, how did Allah save him? Because, remember, he's depending on Allah. Allah's giving him tawfiq. Allah's making his effort successful. So Allah wanted to give us a lesson that it's not only the laws of nature that you need to think about and plan for. You need to have a good relationship with me, depending on me for success. You depend on me for what? Success. Allah then interfered with a miracle. Guess what was that miracle? You won't believe it.
He became invisible?
No. The 40 men
died.
No. Fell into sleep.
What?
They went to sleep. All of them together. Okay. They leaned against the wall and they... That was a miracle.
Were they tired or was it like...
Allah,
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Allah made them all sleep.
You don't need
explanations in
form. You know, if you are assigned an important task, do you go to sleep?
No.
You're so alert. You have an anxiety. You're so, you know, you're really, really so cautious and alert. You don't go to sleep. But those 40 guys went to sleep. They could not keep their eyes open. They all went to sleep. And then the prophet opened the door. You might think that the prophet opens the door and runs. No.
He walks. He strolls.
He walks, yes, but before he leaves, he got dust from the ground. And he put dust on their heads. All of them, 40, one by one. Grab dust and he puts it on their heads. Grab dust and puts it on their heads. 40 ones. And the dust didn't wake them up.
They died?
No, they were just stayed in sleep.
Wait,
they didn't wake up.
Why did
Okay. It's a symbolic message. He's giving them the message that you are going against Allah, and all your efforts is nothing but
dust.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I thought the dust.
Not only that, but also to teach us so that we learn that he didn't run away as soon as he got out. No, he stayed and he put dust on because he knew that they're not going to wake up. Because Allah told him. And that is the first miracle. So yes, exhaust all available means. Yes, use the laws of nature. But remember, Allah said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. Allah is talking about himself that I am the one who will assist with miraculous help the one who is muttar. Muttar means you finished all you exhausted all physical means available to you. All means. You tried everything. You planned for everything. And yet you failed. Then you're desperate. So muttar is desperate. Allah will help with a miracle only the desperate. But the lazy one doesn't do work, then that person doesn't get miraculous help. Okay, so now the Prophet is out. You think that was the only time where the Prophet's plan failed? No. There was a second time where the Prophet's plan failed. So how did his first plan fail? What's the first failure?
The 40 men came.
The 40 men. Why couldn't they kill him before? Why couldn't Quraysh kill the bad guys? Kill the Prophet?
Tribalism.
Yeah,
because if one person kills four tribes,
good civil war.
So
now he fails for the second time. The second failure, because the bad guys tracked him until the cave of Thawr. Even though he did all of this, asked Asma to walk with her cattle and sheep and goats behind him to cover for his footsteps and put Ali in his bed. And he, instead of traveling north, he traveled south and he, did everything you can imagine. Yet, they were so many, they were so searching for him, and they were able to determine that nobody traveled from this direction, and they were able to determine that, okay, we have fresh animal footprints here, then if he would have gone anywhere, he should have gone from this direction. You got it? Even though Asma would take it back and forth like this to confuse them, but still they were able to track him to the cave. Now they were standing on the door of the cave, and that's where she said about the spider and the egg.
Oh,
and the spider and the egg story, it's not authenticated, but do you know about it? Just in case.
Yeah.
Allah made a spider build a web on the entrance.